an entire consecration. St. Helena, California, December 19, 1905. This morning I cannot sleep after 2 o'clock, for my mind is troubled regarding our people. We see that the enemy has been making every effort to obtain the victory over them and lead them to continue to do the very things that the Lord has forbidden them to do. The year 1905 has nearly expired, and the remnant of time will soon pass away. Will every soul before the old year closes put off the old man with his deeds and put on the new man, Christ Jesus? Let there be no great ambitious stress to buy presents for Christmas and New Year. Little presents for the children may not be amiss, but the Lord's people should not spend his money in buying costly presents. Christ calls for the greatest of all gifts, the gift of the heart, the mind, the soul, the strength. A lawyer came to Jesus with the question, "What shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" He had been studying the question and was perplexed over the matter. The scribes and Pharisees had urged him to present the question to Christ as something he would not care to explain. They hoped to find in his answer something by which they might condemn him. Christ read their purpose like an open book and laid upon the lawyer the burden of answering his own question, saying, "What is written in the law? How readest thou?" Luke 10, verse 25-26. And he answering said, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself." And Christ said to him, "Thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live." Verses 27-28. But he, willing to justify himself, said to Christ, "And who is my neighbor?" Verse 29. And Jesus answering said, "A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment, and wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him, and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him, and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence, and gave them to the host, and said unto him, 'Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee.'" Verses 30-35. After relating this incident, the circumstances of which were familiar to many present, Christ asked, "Which now of these three, thinkest thou, was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves?" And he said, "He that showed mercy on him." Verses 36-37. Other voices united with the lawyers in this acclamation. Then said Jesus unto him, "Go, and do thou likewise." Verse 37. Christ's enemies could get no hold upon him, for he presented facts that condemned their neglect of duty. In his divine wisdom, Christ turned the minds of those present from the object they had in view. Those who came to catechize, hoping to hear from the Savior's lips some word they might use against him, heard from their own spokesman the terms of eternal life. The man who came to catechize Christ found that he himself was catechized. The Savior did not, in order to obtain favor, leave him in uncertainty. "It is written," is to be the continual, everlasting terms of salvation for all who will inherit the kingdom of God. We all have opportunity to obtain eternal life through the light reflected on this occasion. God requires the service of the whole heart. Those who place themselves in right relation to God will stand the test of the judgment. If the heart, mind, soul, and strength are looked upon as the Lord's blood-bought heritage, He will use them in His service. Those who obtain eternal life must give evidence to the world that they love God with all the capabilities that He has given them. They are to obey the two supreme commands which embody all the whole law, acknowledging by their course of action that they are doers of the law.
The question asked by the lawyer is just as vital today as it was then. This do, and thou shalt live. What are we to do? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. This love is to be brought into the daily practice. We are to do our duty to every man, as we would like to have others do to us under like circumstances. Only those who have brought into their lives the strictest integrity can enter through the gates into the holy city of God. Those who, at the day of judgment, are found to be standing under the rebuke of God for unfair dealing, for covetous practices, for their multitude of deceptions and lies, will never pass the portals of the holy city. The whole world will pass in review. Yes, is passing in review before one who never makes a mistake. All underhand schemes to obtain advantage are recorded in the books of heaven, which will be opened in the day when every man's case is decided. We hear men talk of principle, and God looks with contempt upon the principles of some who talk thus. A man must love God with all the heart, feeling under the most solemn obligations to give God his entire service. Men and women have the advantage of an open door into the heavenly courts if they will comply with the conditions laid down for securing the advantages spoken of in the first chapter of 2 Peter. Read from the first verse to the close of the chapter and learn how much is to be obtained if you secure your life insurance policy. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Without obedience to the righteous law, without following the example of our Lord Jesus Christ, working out through His grace a character worthy to stand before the heavenly universe, we cannot have part in the reward offered. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. There are the two personalities, but God and Christ are one in perfection of character. According as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. The Apostle Peter was moved by the Holy Spirit to write the things to the church, the elect according to the foreknowledge of God, those who have obtained the precious faith of our Lord Jesus Christ. This faith is precious and valuable. It is not the faith of a heretic, not the pretentious faith of a hypocrite, not the unsatisfactory faith of the formal professor. It is the faith of God's elect, true, saving faith. The just shall live by faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. True faith unites the weakest and apparently least efficient with Jesus Christ, and, united with His efficiency, the weak become strong. Faith is the gift of God to the humble, contrite soul. He who is self-exalted, full of schemes and plans that the Lord has not directed him to engage in, endangers his spirituality. The Lord sees that he is in danger of getting beyond his depth
and that he will make shipwreck of his faith. He sees that he is becoming desperate because everyone does not help him draw the load. Let every man walk humbly with God. He who gives strict obedience to the commandments will not be an accuser of the brethren, but will heed the words of Christ in his prayer to the Father, that the believers may be one as he is one with the Father. The apparently weak soul, who, with a contrite, trusting spirit, takes God at his word, and with a sense of his unworthiness, asks for help, will be given grace to win victory after victory, and to gain the eternal weight of glory in the future life. The Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of the Father, is truly God in infinity, but not in personality. He has wrought out the righteousness that enables human beings to overcome every assault of Satan. He will impute his righteousness to the believing saint, who walks as he walked when on earth. The Prince of Heaven, Christ, became a servant, and he accepts human beings to be laborers together with him. He declares, "Lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world." Matthew 28, verse 20. No one will fail who walks in all humility of mind, learning of Christ the lessons he has given all to learn. We are safe while we strive for the mastery as an overcomer with deep, earnest love for God and for one another.
God gives us assurance that we may escape the corruption that is in the world through lust by being partakers of the divine nature, having through faith, watchfulness, and prayer realized the promise, "Lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world." Verse 20. Less talk, brethren, and an increase of faith will be a stronghold. Less talk and more communion with God will make you giants in his work. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. 2 Peter 1, verse 5. This comprehends much. It means, do not talk or work lies. Do not weave them into anything with which you have to do. Speak the truth at all times. And to virtue, knowledge. Verse 5. Be not ignorant of Satan's devices. You need to interpret his sophistries and his wonderful representations of God as being in the leaf and in the tree and in everything that grows. These soft words and fair speeches are designed to mislead. God, through Christ, created our world and all that is therein, but this did not destroy the identity of Christ. Knowledge from God is supreme, not foolish, but sound and explainable, according to the light given of God. And to knowledge, temperance, and to temperance, patience, and to patience, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. Verses 6, 7. It is not that charity which covers a multitude of sins, unrepented of, and unforgiven for lack of true repentance and confession. Those who flatter and deceive poor souls in their sins will themselves become sinners. Sinner added to sinner by a wrong course of action makes a company of unbelievers who do great dishonor to God. God calls upon his people to meet a high standard. Ever bear in mind that not a thread of dishonesty or conniving with Satan and his devices is to be woven into the pattern of the web. God will not accept one figure into which the threads of selfishness have been woven. The Lord would have every soul who believes in Christ forming a character that will give him a fitness for the mansions which Christ has gone to prepare for those who in this life keep God's commandments. The world has been cursed with sin, which has been growing in extent in proportion to the intensity with which it has been practiced. The primal beauty of the earth is gone. Since Adam's sin,
every species of crime and dishonesty has increased, till the world has become filled with iniquity. But a better kingdom is being prepared for all who are faithful, tried, and sanctified, those who are living constantly on the plan of addition, adding virtue to virtue and grace to grace.